The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our our moving bunker.
Yes.
Try to find us.
Yes, that's why we keep moving. We present a moving target, and we're just that much harder to get.
And you just thought that we were going from rental house to rental house. No, no. We're Bedouins. We're Bedouin. You can't find us. Hi, Slamy.
Well, we're glad we slay us because no one else gets us.
No.
Not in our families, anyway.
But you know what? We've got fans that almost do, and more is the pity for them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, welcome. Today is Friday, February the 18th of 2011. Yes.
Yes.
Had to check
yes, it is.
Do you know someone we know turns 21 on the 21st?
I do know that someone we know turns 21. Is it on the 21st or the 20th?
Oh, I better go back and check. If I get that wrong in a public forum like this, I'm in
trouble. You were there.
Yes. As the radio in the delivery room played, She Drives Me Crazy by the fine young
cat. She drives me crazy.
Yeah, very prophetic. Anyway, wrapping up the week here, and we're getting a little bit of a later start today than we had planned.
Getting a later start.
It's been a crazy week.
It's been a crazy week. But, you know, you just finished an interview with
Dr. Judd Burton, the author of Interview with the Giant, Ethnohistorical Notes on the Nephilim. Really interesting stuff. The title of the show, which is going to be posted as a podcast for A View from the Bunker at vftb.net, and, of course, on the RSS feed this weekend, will be Witchcraft and the Watchers.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. He's got some really interesting ideas on the origins of witchcraft and kind of goes through a historical survey of the craft and how it's manifests itself today. So, yeah, really interesting stuff. Judd Burton, his website, burtonbeyond.com. Well worth visiting for his articles.
So. That sounds really good. Now, are you going to be posting VFTBs every weekend, do you think? Because I know we posted, for those of you playing the home game, those of you who are fans on Facebook, you've read the post that we did earlier that there will not be a VFTB live for a while.
Yeah, and that's because with the move imminent, and we intend to be at the new location, wherever that is, within the next 4 to 6 weeks, we just aren't sure what our schedule is going to look like for, you know, that time frame.
We honestly don't know in advance if we'll even be here on the, you know, any given weekend.
So. Right. So, in fact, this weekend I'll be taking a trip to Illinois, and there may be more of those in the future.
We hope he comes back with a house.
Which would be really cool.
Towed behind him.
Yeah.
Trailer.
We just wanted to make sure
rent.
It didn't get away. Yes. But we will... you know, there may be some travel involved with training for the new position I'll be taking on. So anyway, just with that uncertainty, didn't want to make commitments we couldn't live up to. So just going to try to do the podcast on the weekend, which is the way View from the Bunker started out. So once we get settled at the new location, we will resume the Friday night show for the few, the proud, those who chose to join us in the chat rooms on Friday nights.
Okay. Yeah. I sum up.
Yes.
It's no time. Go back to the beginning.
That's right. Podcast only. Yes.
Well, exactly. It is. So have your podcatchers ready.
That's right.
have them out there in the field, ready to catch any pod that falls into their little mitts.
And we've been posting these for the last year and a half to the RSS feed for PID Radio. So if you subscribe via iTunes or some other podcatcher to get the new PID Radios as they're posted, you'll get View from the Bunker interviews as well. There's a separate RSS feed for View from the Bunker, but if you get do the RSS feed at PIDradio.com, you'll get it everything. You'll get everything. As soon as it's uploaded, you'll get it all. So, and we'll let you know when the live shows resume, which will be probably early to mid-April, right around tax time, just in time to rant. So,
yeah, I had to bring up tax time, yeah. Didn't you?
Well, I just want to make a quick observation. The Tea Party was founded as a reaction to being overtaxed, the intrusion mm-hmm. of the federal government mm-hmm. In the wake of the Bush administration starting the ball rolling with the first TARP bailout, $700 billion shoveled into the maw of the banksters, continued with TARP 2 and with other bailouts that the Obama administration originated. T stood for taxed enough already. They were opposed, we were told, to government intrusion into our and control over our lives. We need to shrink the government and reduce the cost.
They're essentially yes. libertarians.
Libertarians.
Which
right.
I think is one of the reasons that Sarah Palin works so well.
Yes. Well, I just want to point out that last week while we were, preoccupied with, finding a new address, the Patriot Act came up for renewal. I mean, there's a sunset provision on the Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. And of the 40 candidates who were supported by the Tea Party that were elected to Congress, 31 of them voted to renew the Patriot Act.
That is what?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
When you said that you were a member of the Tea Party, mm-hmm. did you understand what that meant? Mr. or Mrs. or Miss Congressman, mm-hmm. did you understand what that meant?
Yep. Yeah. So anyway,
I thought it'd get me elected is what I thought.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. 8 voted no. 31 voted in favor. There was 1 no vote. So, the vast majority, over 3/4 of those who were supported by the Tea Party movements around the country voted to extend the Patriot Act. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, anyway, moving along. The Middle East continues to bubble and boil and trouble, like a big witch's cauldron, just sort of mm-hmm. tying into the theme for the weekend.
And I think that's a good way to put it. I really do. Because I think that it's far more than political unrest.
Yes.
I think this is a spiritual
Absolutely.
Unrest that's going on.
Absolutely.
Well, where's Sam going?
I'm not sure. We'll talk about Sam. Sam had a rough day today. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But if you've not seen news today, February 18th, is that the king of Bahrain found that his bribe to his subjects on the small island nation, which is predominantly Shia, wasn't effective. It didn't really work. So he has now called out the security forces, and some 50 people were injured there today in confrontation between the security forces in Bahrain and protesters. So
security forces that were probably surprised. Oh, let me put this back on. Okay.
Yeah, the headphones work better when the speaker part faces in toward your ear.
In toward ear.
Yes.
Okay, I got it. I think many of those security forces probably came from Saudi Arabia.
The Saudis have been offering assistance to the King of Bahrain.
Yes, they have. Hmm. They have. Well, Bahrain is a very strange little, almost like an appendix. Sticking out in the middle of the Persian Gulf
mm-hmm.
and barely sticking out. And it's, I read it, and I think this sums it up. Bahrain could be the modern version of Kuwait to Iraq, as in Bahrain to Iran. Not that Iran would invade it,
yeah.
But that they are inevitably tied together. You're right. The people primarily who are protesting are Shiite.
Mm-hmm.
We are running into a sectarian war that's taking place.
That's the significance here, and I should have pointed that out right away. You're right. The reason the Saudis would support the king there is to put down the Shia unrest, because the kingdom of Saudi Arabia is Sunni.
Exactly. Just like George Bush going into Kuwait.
Uh-huh.
Because he was Sunni. No. I'm lying about that. He wasn't Sunni. Everybody knows he's Shiite.
We'll leave that lie.
Okay.
But it is a real hotbed of unrest that's taking place there in the Middle East. You've got that going on, but at the same time, the Iranian Navy still threatening. Now, we talked about this Wednesday. Apparently, has not happened yet. Threatening to send warships through the Suez Canal.
Let me do a search. Let me see if they've gone through yet.
Was something that they had talked about. What's interesting about Bahrain too, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm going to have to look this up here real quick. I believe I'm correct in this. It is a small island off the coast of the eastern coast of Africa, just north of Qatar in the Arabian Sea. Yeah.
Exactly. It's right next to Qatar.
Right. So I'm not off Africa. I'm sorry, off the Arabian Peninsula. But if I'm not mistaken, in ancient times, Bahrain was referred to by the name Tilman or Dilman. And this is apropos of nothing, really. The reason I mention this.
This is one of the reasons I love you, because I never know where your brain's going to go next.
Well, I love that about you, too. But Dilmun is a land that was mentioned in records that have been preserved from ancient Sumer, Mesopotamia. It was a trade partner for the ancient Sumerian civilization. Supposedly, it was. We're not sure that it's associated with Bahrain, but we think so, I should say, archaeologists, paleontologists think so. But supposedly, Dilmun is where the Babylonian in the Babylonian flood account. That's where the Noah character eventually settled.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the Gilgamesh epic, in fact, Gilgamesh goes to visit Utnapishtim.
Yeah, I'm glad you can pronounce that.
Utnapishtim, who had settled at Dilmun, because Gilgamesh wanted to get the secret of eternal life from Utnapishtim. And so anyway, is there any supernatural or spiritual significance to this? I don't know. Just bringing it up as an historic
I think
curiosity.
It's an interesting side point. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, you would be really, the big stories at the New York Times and all this, and then they give the big byline to the guy that's making all the bucks, and then they go to the little intern that really does all the research and the work and says, I want you to write a sidebar piece for this.
Mm-hmm.
See, that would be a nice little sidebar piece.
Yeah. So anyway, today, the protesters, 50 injured in clashes with the government there. And while that is going on,
I can't find that they have actually gone through the Suez yet. What I can find at this hour, and it's around 8:36 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is that they have been given permission. In fact, Egypt seems perplexed that there was any story saying that Iran wasn't allowed through. So I'm not really sure what's going on.
Yeah.
Clearly some sort of backroom chats are taking place, or phone chats are taking place. But Ahmadinejad supposedly came out, and I haven't been able to find this story. I did find a reference to it at a forum. Supposedly came out and said that this is, how did he put it, the 12th Imam essentially marshaling his forces to bring about his emergence back into the world.
Uh-huh. Well, the significance from a military standpoint, according to Debka, which is a site we look to fairly frequently, is that Israel is very concerned about the passage of these ships through the Suez Canal, because one in particular, the Karg, spelled Kharg, intends to deliver long-range missiles for Hezbollah to a port, a Mediterranean port in Syria, or perhaps even Beirut. Even the U.S. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley, or Crowley, I guess it's Crowley, Alistair is Crowley, P.J. is Crowley, said that he was skeptical of Syria's claim that the two Iranian ships are visiting Syria for training purposes, and said, quote, if the ships move through the canal, and as Sharon pointed out, they've been granted permission now by the government in Cairo, if they move through the canal, we will evaluate what they actually do. It's not really about the ships. It's about what the ships are carrying. What's their destination? What's the cargo on board? Where's it going? To whom and for what benefit? End quote. So if, in fact, this ship is bringing missiles for Hezbollah, to it, you know, that could really be a bad thing. And while this is going on, and this is the thing that I want to talk about, because I don't understand this. When Egypt and Israel signed a peace treaty back in 1979, the Sinai Peninsula was supposed to be a demilitarized zone, essentially.
Exactly. And no as of, troops.
That's right. And as of tonight, February 18th of 2011, Egypt now has, and apparently with the permission of the government in Israel, 4,000 soldiers now in the Sinai. So what's going on?
I don't know. I remember Ariel Sharon used to do things like this back in the day. Not that he would allow troops into the Sinai, but he would appear to be making concessions. And more often than not, it was actually that he was sly as a fox and he was allowing the enemy to come in so that he could go and clobber them. And it makes me wonder if Israel isn't planning a first strike.
Well, I don't know.
I hope not.
It, you know,
because the world would condemn it.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the reason for the kind of tripwire incidents we've seen mm-hmm. in America's history mm-hmm. over the last 70 years, like the lie at the Gulf of Tonkin, that mm-hmm. the second attack, which never occurred, and the NSA, National Security Agency, knew it but told President Johnson that the North Vietnamese had fired mm-hmm. on the second attack in order to provoke an American response. They knew it, and this has been revealed through. This has been documented now through the release of documents under the Freedom of Information Act.
Now, I can tell you what the supposed reason, in fact, the announced reason that Netanyahu was allowing Egyptian soldiers to get into the Sinai Peninsula, and that was to protect Sharm el Sheikh,
which is where Hosni Mubarak mm-hmm. went after he stepped down. Sure, but. As Debka makes clear, Israel has, for the last 32 years, essentially had an undefended southern border because the Sinai had no soldiers on it for either side, Israel or Egypt. So they were able to concentrate forces along the northern border with Syria and Lebanon and to some degree, on the West Bank, you know, opposite the Palestinian settlements. They didn't have to worry about an attack from the south. And now you've got 4,000 Egyptian soldiers in the Sinai and Israel, according to Debka anyway, undermanned on that particular front. Now, a key element of warfare, anyone who's read Sun Tzu knows this, is that when you're strong, you pretend to be weak. Mm-hmm. So it may be, as you say, Israel has a trump card, something up its sleeve. A sucker punch, right, that it has not disclosed. So, mm-hmm. But regardless of who throws the first punch, things over there are tinder soaked in gasoline.
Well, you mentioned Mubarak, and we talked about the rumor, the internet rumor, that he had gone into a coma. We still don't know, at least as of today, mm-hmm. I don't know for a fact where he is.
Mm-hmm.
He may be in Germany, he may be in Morocco, he may be in Egypt. He may be in a coma, he may not be.
Mm-hmm.
But there are now rumors that Tunisia's former president is in a coma.
Yeah, seems to be.
You made the most interesting comment. You said, wouldn't it be interesting that by going into a coma, he's actually waking up and realizing he's no longer in the Matrix.
In the Matrix, yeah. This is a former
sitting there blinking his little eyes in the sunlight.
And being greeted by Hosni Mubarak and Ariel Sharon.
Yes, and the Greys.
Yeah. Just an odd thought. Anyway, President, I don't know how to pronounce this, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. Former President Ben Ali has suffered a stroke, according to UPI, and is now in Saudi Arabia. So,
do we know where his wife is? Remember, she was one of the reasons, supposedly, for the protests, because a WikiLeaks memo came out and detailed some of the extravagant spending that she was doing.
No, don't see that in this particular story. And UPI is not reporting it as fact. It's simply reporting that a French online journalist, essentially a blogger, with contacts in Tunisia, has reported this. This is as of yesterday evening, February mm-hmm. 17th. So,
you know, a lot of news actually anymore is coming from Twitter.
Yeah.
Which is really, you know, well, no different than you and I reporting what's going on in the street. I mean, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and that's one of the reasons that I love Twitter. I go to that a lot, and I will put in various hashtags and try to see what comes up. And you can really follow other. You have to assume they're telling the truth. But when they put the link to a video that they have made with their mm-hmm. little iPhone or their cell phone or whatever, then it's literally being on the ground. And it reminds me so much of Scripture when it talks about the whole world watching an event.
Right. The thing to remember is that the world's intelligence agencies have figured this out as well, which is why Twitter was asked by the U.S. State Department to delay regularly scheduled maintenance on their servers when the Iranian uprising took place a couple of years ago, because presumably there were assets on the ground that were using Twitter to get the message out.
Do you think that's why Obama just had lunch with a bunch of tech guys?
Could be, including Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Well, you know, Steve Jobs was there. He's okay.
Well enough to meet with the president, apparently. But yeah, he was part of that luncheon. So, we talked about that. Well, in fact, that was a good bit of the presentation that I gave in Canton, Ohio last year. It was about how tech is being used by intelligence services. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of Facebook's initial investors was a guy who believes in the singularity, but one that loaded in right after him was the venture capital arm of the CIA. What interest does the CIA have in Twitter? What interest do they have in, you know, other online aspects, you know, trying to predict future events by analyzing social media?
You're going to end up on the island again, honey.
Keep talking that way. Just keep talking. That white van is still parked out front. So anyway, there's that going on in the Middle East. And of course, as we discussed here, and it was really a fascinating couple of hours on View from the Bunker last week with Tom Paine and Bill Salas discussing Egypt and where that all leads. And both agree that their analysis of prophecy and of, in Tom's case, the patterns of time based on templates that he finds in Scripture point to more conflict in the Middle East. Not peace.
It's really funny you should mention patterns in time. There were a number of stories that I was reading today. One of them had to do with, it was something that John Ankerberg actually posted to his Facebook page, and it was, and if you go, I'll try to find the link for you, but he was talking about, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the physicist's name, who was asked about material and reality and mathematics and this and that, and he thinks that vaguely, excuse me, I'm going to explain this poorly, but he feels that there are three realities, and one of those is mathematics, another one is material, matter. And another is energy. I'll come in again. No, I think the third was. But anyway, he was asked if everything can boil down to matter. And he said, I think his answer was no. And sorry if I seem a little distracted, but I had a bad afternoon. So I'm not sure that I'm remembering this correctly. But what I'm trying to say is that his notion of mathematics itself being one of the so-called trinity of reality.
Okay.
I found really, really interesting if you take a look at the overall goal of the singularity. It's a mathematical goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's that we're all going to come down to a point where everything converges and everything becomes essentially mathematics.
Bits and bytes, digital information.
Yeah.
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 You know, it's interesting. One of the books I read long ago, and now with different eyes and a different understanding of the way things are, I should go back and reread this again. That's the Foundation Trilogy by Isaac Asimov, in which a brilliant mathematician named Harry Seldon calculates a formula, develops a mathematical model that allows him to predict human behavior, which is what these guys are working toward, in a sense. And there are mathematicians that are working on mathematical models to predict group behavior. He takes it to the extreme where he could actually turn mathematics into a prophetic engine, where he can calculate, where he was able to calculate in the books what was going to happen throughout the rest of human history, and then to try to take steps to prevent against the next collapse into a dark age. It's sort of the template of time, except that it eliminates God from the equation.
But what's interesting, yeah, true.
Literally.
What's interesting about that, yeah, literally. What's interesting for me about that is if you think of an hourglass shape, you've got all of the chatter on the internet, which is what the web bots do. They take everything that's going on that they can find and scrub from the internet. Then they bring that down to mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that you read a book about a man who had a formula that you could take that mathematics and predict what happens in reality.
Right.
interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Again, the science fiction often leads where science reality tries to go. Apparently, when you look at it with the eyes of a believer, with the understanding that God's word is sovereign and His will is sovereign and inviolable,
and God is not me.
Right. I have met Him, and he is not us.
Me. Yeah,
like Tom does in the book The Template of Time. You can say, okay, He's established an order to the universe. As a scientist, you believe this already, as do I. God established an order to the universe, but perhaps it's even more intricate and amazing than we even thought.
Exactly. To take that order of the universe and infer a mathematical model for God,
mm-hmm.
it's not only blasphemy,
right.
but it's ridiculous.
Right. Looking at it the way Tom does, and the way David Flynn does, is the other way around. It is basically trying to discern the pattern from the things that have already gone before, the mm-hmm. things that have happened. They're not trying to create God or not trying to divine the future from the patterns that they're seeing.
Right. They're merely observing, and that's what a good scientist does.
Right, and trying to find the connections and the links. And, mm-hmm. and that's just fascinating stuff. And we just see that more than anything else, when we make references to numerological coincidences or things that seem odd to us, that's all we're doing. And doing it very badly most of the time. things out
we'll
there
be
in
better
this world.
When we're in Illinois. Come on, all things are better in Illinois. You've told me that for years.
Just because I'm born there. That's
I know.
Yeah. Well, what else is going on?
Well, here's another thing I wanted to talk about. It's something we teased the other night, and that is that video games. I wanted to talk about video game memes and movie memes.
Yeah.
There are things coming out over the next year or two that I think are really important to keep an eye on. One of them is a movie that's coming out on March 11th. 2011.
3/11/11, yeah.
And that is it Battlefield LA or Battle LA?
I think it's Battle LA. Yeah, I saw you showed me the
trailer. Now the trailer's on television. I hadn't seen it on television prior to finding it online.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very disturbing trailer, but it's the typical alien encounter.
Mm-hmm.
This time bad, sort of in the way of
Independence Day.
Yes, Independence Day. In
mm-hmm.
fact, it makes me wonder if it's the same guy.
Yeah, it is. Stars Aaron Eckhart and a number of others. Basically, a Marine Corps platoon winds up facing a really nasty and well armed enemy. Let's see, who is the writer? Somebody I've not heard of,
Things
Christopher Bertolini.
But just
a really bad day at the office for the Marine unit depicted in this film. Starts with things falling from the sky like lightning, meteors falling off the coast
mm-hmm.
of California.
Which when the Mars movie with Tom Cruise,
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
When that came out, that's the first thing I thought about, and
sure.
that it really did, because when you watched those. If you haven't seen it yet, please forgive me for giving you the spoiler, but the pilots coming down on the lightning bolt,
mm-hmm.
the pilots that went into the ground to bring up the things that have been sleeping, that
yeah.
have been imprisoned under the earth.
Right.
It was a chilling moment. Well, movies can do that to you, and they play on the fact that you will believe something in a film or in a novel that you won't believe if someone wrote it in a nonfiction book or put
right.
it in a documentary.
Right.
Another movie that's coming out in 2013 is Dark Shadows.
Oh, the old 1960s gothic soap
mm-hmm.
opera. Jonathan
but this time it's going to be
yeah.
made even cooler with Johnny Depp.
Oh, okay. Tim Burton is directing
mm-hmm.
this version.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was a kid, we had the Dark Shadows board game. I barely remember seeing... the show, I remember Jonathan Frid as Barnabas Collins. That's about all I remember. But we
can just see it all now. These little coffins. Get Barnabas to his hiding place.
Yeah, I don't even remember what the
game. Sorry, sun has come up. You haven't made it.
I don't even remember what the purpose of the game was. I just remember we had the board game.
You know, I watched that thing when I was in high school. That was back in the day when you watched a vamp, and even though he was a popular character, mm-hmm. when he vamped out, mm-hmm. it was gross. It was not attractive, and he was ashamed of it.
Yeah.
I think that's all gone. And even the original Dracula, he was a monster.
Sure.
He was portrayed as a monster.
Right. A megalomaniac, a demigod.
In the book.
Yes.
He was not the least bit sexy in the book to the reader.
No.
But to the watcher of the movie, it's like, okay, we're going to sort of combine, you know, this Rudolph Valentino type of look that mm-hmm. Lugosi had, mannerisms, and we're going to play upon that to make the gals in the aisle swoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was part of the conversation I had during the last interview with Dr. Judd Burton is why, and again, with the interview regarding witchcraft that'll be posted later this weekend at View from the Bunker, why have these monsters, who trace their origins back in human history to the watchers, the fallen angels who rebelled against God and taught mankind these forbidden secrets and interbred with humans to create the race of giants called Nephilim, from which stem the legends of werewolves and mm-hmm. vampires. Why have their images been rehabilitated so that werewolves and vampires and witches are now sexy and cool? We live in a fallen world. That's
we
why.
We do. Yeah. We do indeed. Well, one more thing I want to talk about, and I don't know how much time we have.
Oh, we're over time, but we've only done two shows this week, so that's okay.
There was an article in the show, the reading that I did today about a volcano, and I'm back it up here. Volcano drilling team get magma surprise at Iceland volcano.
Of all the surprises one can get.
Where'd that magma come from?
Well, you know, we are standing on a volcano.
Oh, no! Now, they were drilling an exploratory geothermal well. Now, here's the thing. This provides most of the electricity in Iceland.
Sure.
And at the end of this article that I did read the whole thing, and I'll tell you why here in a minute, because oftentimes I scan through them very quickly. Elders believes, this is the name of the gentleman, it should be possible to find reasonably shallow bodies of magma elsewhere in Iceland and the world, wherever young volcanic rocks occur. In the future, he says, these could become attractive sources of high-grade energy. Magma pockets. Now, let me tell you about a movie that I watched, an old movie, mind you, called Crack in the World. I'm not sure how it got on the Netflix queue, and I'm not sure what's going on with our Netflix queue, but that's
things,
a story for another day.
Things are showing up
things
there, yeah.
Things show up on there, and when I go to them and I hit play, it says, would you like to resume playing?
She doesn't
as
remember.
If I've been watching it. I don't know. I think it's Sam. Crack in the World. It was probably from the 1950s, mm-hmm. 40s, 50s. It was in color. But it was about a scientist who was trying to harness magma for energy
mm-hmm.
to get the Earth off petroleum products. And he decides since they can't go, they've dug down and dug down and they can't go any further and you just can't get past this point. And he says, we've got to go deeper. And I know it's all there. And all of his backers are saying, I don't know, we can give a lot of money. And they, you know, it's always the British government, of mm-hmm. course. And he says, well, I need a nuke. So foolishly, they give him a nuke and it causes this crack that starts to go around the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so to stop it, they get another nuke.
Oh, well, that's how you stop it. Fire with fire, yeah.
And I know that you're sitting there thinking, that sounds like a great movie. Please don't tell me the end of that. Well, I won't.
I was just thinking, you know, it sounds like the Michael Ironside made-for-TV movie, sci-fi original Disaster Zone, Volcano in New York.
And, it's not even that good.
Any film with Michael Ironside's got to be all right.
But I thought at the time, I thought, who in their right mind would use magma to produce energy, but here it is.
Yeah, you know, the Icelanders are pretty tough folks.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they told the IMF to, you know, go away.
Wow.
Yeah, they told the bankers who were saying, you know, you guys are bankrupt, you need to play by our rules, and the Icelanders basically said, no. Which is not something you normally. Well, we Americans didn't do it. We gave our bankers about $2 trillion now and counting? So, you know, I say, Icelanders, you guys are tough enough.
Go Reykjavik!
That's right.
Go Reykjavik!
Tough enough to use magma for energy. I'd say those guys are, you know, all right in my book.
Well, I'm done for now.
Speaking of Sam, you mentioned Sam.
We need to explain about Sam.
He had a tough day.
He had a tough day. He's a brave little guy.
Yeah.
He's under his pinky now, yeah. Under the Colt's pinky.
Yeah, he went to see Dr. Grizzly today, which is our
his vet
nickname.
Does look like Grizzly Adams. Love him. But Sam, you know, he's a dachshund, and his dental hygiene, really, it's not great.
Getting a dachshund to brush his teeth is really a challenge.
Getting him to eat anything other than the burger food that I buy, which is not good for him. We supplement by giving him, you know, like roasted chicken and things like that. But mm-hmm. he loves this burger food. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not great for his teeth. And I've tried. I know you're going to write to me and you're going to suggest other foods. I've tried them all.
Yes, we have. Sam just he'll starve until we go back to him.
Like, and I know right, I should just let him go, but you say no to those eyes. Huh? So anyway, I have to take him in periodically to get his teeth cleaned. And today he had some trouble.
Yeah,
he had to have, you know.
5 teeth removed?
Yeah, very, very back teeth that they said, you know what, they were tiny. They showed them to me. And I asked him, I said, look, is he going to miss these? And they said, no. And, of course, apparently he doesn't, because he came home and almost within an hour was going after a chew stick. I thought I hid them all so he wouldn't get one, and he found one hidden in his bed. How does he hide a chew stick in that little bed?
Dachshunds are the best burying dogs in the world.
Well, anyway.
Yeah. So anyway.
He'll be an Illinois dog soon.
That's right. So anyway, Sam, I'm going to kind of rest and relax for the weekend. We're going to check out more places for the new bunker address. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.